The following Daf Yomi consists of several parts. Begins with the Daf Yomi recorded today, continues on with a quick review that allows you to go over the entire Daf in just 5 minutes, and then concludes with the last cycle's Daf Yomi, which you may enjoy more simply because there are different participants, it has a different ambience. Enjoy! Today's Daf in Masechet Menachot is Daf Tzadi Daled. We're holding right at the beginning of the Halakha Perek. 11th Perek comes along, talking now about the actual process of how it is that we create the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Aponim. Of course, Lechem Aponim is particularly fascinating because of its unusual shape and how it needed to be, needed to hire very special people who knew how to do this. So the Shtei Alechem needed to be the mixed and needed one by one, and they needed to be baked one by one. We learned this from a pasuk. Lechem aponim also needed to be kneaded one by one, but they could be baked shtayim shtayim, possibly more. Some of the rishonim say, but it's only a limit not to do them singular. Ubitfus haya oseh otam. It was. Now, ayaoseh refers to the original kneading. After the kneading, placing it inside of a tfus. So when you pressed it, the only way to get it into the correct shape was to use an actual mold. And then, kishuhu rodan, when he takes them out of the oven, he also puts them into a tfus until they cool. There was a special table, not the golden table inside the Eichel, but a special table that held this tfus after it came out. Kidei shelo yitkalkalu, in order that it doesn't lose its particular shape or break. And we'll talk about what that shape was in the Gemara. Minayin mili, how do we know that we have to handle the Shtei Alechem one by one, both in the kneading and in the baking? The Tana Rabbana, Shnei Esronim Yiyeh Hachala Ha'achat. Now this is talking about the Shnei Esronim Hachala Ha'achat, Manabashila Roshot Achat Achat. This is a reference to the Lechem Apanim. How do we know that the Shtei Alechem are also Niloshot Achat Achat? Minayin Sh'av Shtei Alechem Kach, Talmud Lomar Yiyeh. How do we know that the lechem hapanim would be nafa by twos? Talmud lomar v'samta otam. Insert them. So it means that there are two into the oven. Yochol av shtei alechem. Again, if we've been learning the din of the shtei alechem in terms of the lisha, maybe it would be true in terms of the afiyah as well, and we should do the shtei alechem together in the tanur. Talmud lomar otam. Only them. Wait. You told me otam comes to tell me them, plural, to say that you do two. But how do you get out of that? That it means only them. It just means them. Fikta, you used it to tell me that you have to do two at a time. Because then the word that we would have used would have been visamtam. Why do we split it visamta otam? The additional et always means specific. So otam means them and only them.
It doesn't come to increase?
Not when it's part of the word ot. Not when it's not separated. Otam, it just means to make it very specified. So, otam shma minotarte. From here we can learn both. Tan rabbana. Visamta otam. Now the word visamta, Tosfos learns, besides the fact that we learned this issue of two by two, it could have said vinatata otam. There's a big difference between nitina and sima. Nitina means just to put something down, but sima means to put something in. So when you talk about sima, it sounds as if you're putting it into some type of container, which was undoubtedly the mold that was used to keep its shape. Therefore, it means bitfus. And in reality, although the Mishnah only discussed two tfusim, there were really three, shlosha tfusim. Because you begin by notna l'tfus v'dayin hibatzeh. You begin by putting in the dough into the tfus to give it a shape. Now, there was something like a tfus, kemin tfus, hayala betanur. It wasn't an actual tfus, perhaps, because some of the Rishonim learned it was just a shape that was added. There's actually a question, because was the tfus on the outside or was the tfus on the inside? Because as far as what we need to do, it would work in either direction. We don't want the bread to fall over. We need to be held up. It could have been held up against the side of the tanur. And there, Tosfos says, you'll notice it doesn't say tfus in the one in the tanur. It says kimin tfus, sort of like a tfus, fans definitely, that it's not the same as the shnei tfusin that we were talking about before. So it may be that this is part of the tanur that allowed it to be put up against the edge of this inner piece. Or maybe it was something that was pushed down on top of it to hold it against the edges of the tanur. But it wasn't a standard tfus where something would be put into. Shake any other tfusim that we're talking about before and after, those were actual molds. They were real tfusim. In the oven itself, it obviously wasn't precisely, I mean, it wasn't baked inside of a container. So first of all, we're going to see later on that this thing was full of airspace. This was like a kaveret. It just gave a general shape, but it allowed, actually, for the heat of the oven to freely flow over the lechem. And so there was the first batzeik, then there was something like a tfus in the tanur itself. And then Kishur wrote, then when he took it out of the tanur, he would put it into yet a third tfus, kadesha lo titkal kel, in order that it shouldn't collapse. But why can't we just put it back into the original tfus? Adur the tfus kama. Well, because obviously in the baking process it has now swollen. It's no longer thin enough to fit into the original tfus. So given the afila nefcha, it has additional nefach. We need a larger tfus than we've really had at this point. Itma, lechem hapanim ketzer osimoto. Ketzer osimoto means here, how was it shaped, not how did you achieve the shape. So Rabbi Chanina Amar, kemin teva prutza. It was shaped like a box, which was missing two of its sides. And the teva doesn't have to have a top at all, of course. The teva is open. So we have the aron habrit, it was a teva. And then we had a separate kli, which was the kapora. So you take a box, and you cut out two sides.
Top and bottom?
No, two sides. You have a box.
Is the bottom and top?
There's no top. Teva doesn't have a top, but it has a bottom and it has a side, two sides, but not four sides. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, kumin svina roketet. It was like a kayak, so that it was basically shaped to come down to a sharp bottom, and in the front and the back it was also sharp, so that it would dance, so to speak, over the water. It didn't really touch the water. A kayak, if you're going fast, it's meant to just sort of bounce its way, so we call it a roketet. So it's a dancing little boat. And even though we use the word svina, the Targum of Rashi has the word siraktana in the translation of Rashi's kavish. So, okay, so a svina roketet, I think that's the closest thing, because I think that a canoe is too, but a kayak is literally this way. It's sharp on both sides, and it's not curved, it's almost diagonal.
It's lifted up.
Yeah, so basically it's extremely streamlined. The idea over here is to have as little contact with the water as possible. And so too was the lechem made, so that it came sharply down at the bottom, so it was only one etzba thickness at the bottom, came straight up to the side, that's how Rashi understands it. And then in the front, it was pinched tight with a sharp edge, where that edge would be the equivalent of the part that's meant to cut through the water without getting sinking into the water. So it goes up, and that shape was obviously going to create problems for how it's going to stand on the shulchan, and so we're going to deal with. Because the teva prutza, at least you could set it down, and it sits like any other lechem. You just have to make sure that nothing breaks it. So let's talk, before we get to the details of the ground, let's talk about the shape of the shulchan so that we can understand precisely what's going on over here. We have a shulchan that we're going to see there's a machlokas, whether it was six or whether it was five long. There's a machlokas we're going to review later on about how it is that we measure the number of tefachim in the amas of the kelim. And the lechem was 10 tefachim, and therefore there's no way that it could fit. So what we did over here was bend up the lechem so that it fit along the five, the width, the length of the lechem would fit on the width of the shulchan. So either we needed to bend up straight, like in the picture that you have in Rashi on top, I guess, just the open box picture, right here, on top of your page, the open box picture. Or we have this V shape that Rashi puts underneath. But Then, on the side of the Shulchan, there were two sets of supports. And how wide they are is a machloket. Tosfos understands that they were as wide as the lechem, which was five. And it went the entire side of the lechem. Other Rishonim seem to learn that it was thinner. But the picture you have over here is sort of a standard picture, in the way Tosfos says, in which he learns that it fits, these are the snifim, it fits the entire... Oh, you don't have that nice picture. Okay. All right, so it fits the entire... they're attempting to create a three-dimensional look by having this. Don't get confused. If it were two-dimensional, it would be pretty bad. This is supposed to be perspective, in which the two snifim are actually the same level. It's rather poorly rendered. But in any event, so you have four, two on either side of the table, and each one of them supports six lechem that go between these two snifim. Now, the two snifim either...
These are like stands?
They're stands. Now, they either stood on the floor, which we're going to see is a machlokas, or they stood on the shulchan itself. And we'll see how that could have been done, okay? What's that? Okay. In addition to these snifim, which supported the edge of the lechem, there was also an attempt that was made to prevent the lechem from collapsing from the sheer weight of six lechemim, one on top of the other. So there was another problem, which was to provide sufficient support, and that was done by taking thin golden reeds, slit into two, so that they were just half circles, and half reeds. They were put between the lechem, but they were also supported by little extrusions on the sides of the snifim in which they could sit, so that they were supported on the very far edges by the two snifim. And in the middle, they sat on the lechem, and the reason that they were only half was because that way there would be a lot of airflow, so that the actual point of contact was tiny, so that there was nothing, the place of contact was either the curve on the bottom, which was just one point, or the tiny edge, one point was the curve on the bottom, or the 2 points on the top, and therefore the air was flowing meanwhile in between. So this prevented any spoilage of the lechem, and it helped to provide additional supports. Those were the main parts of the Shulchan, and of course in addition to that, we had the Bzichei Levona, which is a question, where did the Bzichei Levona sit? Because it doesn't seem to be any room on the Shulchan the way we're learning it now. We'll see that that's a machlok. Okay, so understanding that, we're going to be able to get a better sense of what the Gemara is bothered with these different pirushim.
Shulchan, we mean just the flat table, or we mean the whole aruv?
No, just the shulchan. The Torah refers separately to the shulchan, ve'et kelav. So it has its manikiyotav. That's the machlok, is how to learn what each one means. Rashi says it's much more reasonable. Manikiyotav ought to mean the thing that keeps it clean, from the lashon of nakiv. There's some that learn that in the Chumash. Rashi brings some learn, brings the Gemara, that some learn that that's a reference to the snifim, but why would it be called manikiyotav? And then we have the kishotav, which is more like another word that could have been understood to mean the reeds. But okay, we'll see in the Gemara. But right now what we're interested in is, what's the implication of the shape for the way that the shulchan had to have been made in order to support a shape like that? So we have a machlokas, Rebbe Chanina, who says it's a teva prutzer, Rebbe Yochanan, who says that it's a kayak, kibin sinur elkeret. It's a bishlem ilman diomer kibin teva prutza. If it's a teva prutza, then the bezichin, as is the pashtis of the pasuk, is to put the bezichin on al hamarechet levona zakah. So how would it go? Al hamarechet, you would put on each marechet, you would put a container that had the bezichin in it with a handle, sort of like our little tea or little hot water things for one cup, filled of the komets of levona. And there would be place to set it on top. But if it's a svina roketet, it doesn't have any bottom. Each lechem came to a sharp bottom. If you try to put in the levona, it would simply tip over. So where did you put the levona? And here we're assuming that it didn't go on the shulchan itself, as the Rishonim pointed, which is really a question later on in the Gemara. But assuming that that would be the case, where would we put the bezichin? So leman di'amak means svina roketet, heche ave yadvi bezichin. Well, you know, we have no choice but to say Mokom Avidlo. There was a place made in the lechem while it was still dough to provide a flattened surface for the bezichin. Obviously, we didn't need to do this in every lechem, but the lechem would support the bezichin. We did it in. Okay, Bishlam Lamad Yom HaKamin Teva Putsa. That would explain Hainu Davayat Ve'akanim. The kanim, which were the half-circled straws, the half-straws that went between each of the lechem, would be supported on their edges by the pitzulim. We're going to learn about these little extensions or pegs that stuck out from the side of the sefim. But remember, they're very soft gold. They're thin, soft gold. They just bend. So we support them on the end. They're also going to have to rest on something, which is the lechem itself. Problem is that if you learn it's kimin the sefina rokedet, so then it's like a kayak, it doesn't really have any place to sit except on the very middle because it comes to a sharp point on either side. So that's not going to be enough to prevent it from bending. Where would you set it? Because even though, obviously, it's still going to be touching the middle, which is the sharp point. Can we have that picture again that you... You see, here they have... If it's the Svina, if it's the Teva Prusa, it's very clear. Each Kana is being very well supported by either end. Plus, it's stuck over here on the edges into the little support on the actual Snifim. But if you hold this like a Teva Prusa, the only place you're supporting it is right there on the tip of the kayak on either side. The only one that has any support is the middle Kana. But the two Kanim on the end are only supported on the two ends and the middle. And when you do that, you really have bending. They're not, they're very, very thin. How thick could they have been? They were trying to avoid having almost any contact with the lechem. They're just there to provide a little bit of additional support so as not to have too much weight. So where in the world, what was supporting them? Where in the world would they be sitting? Answers the Gemara, we have no choice but to say, and this is really messy, that Mursha Avidlo, according to Zman D'Omar, we must have stuck a little piece of dough onto either edge of the tip of the kayak to provide a little bit of support for either edge of the kanim so that they wouldn't bend in the middle. Okay, so far so good. Now, Bishlam Alaman D'Omar, Teva Prutsa. If you hold like Rabbi Chadina, so then it makes a lot of sense. The Snifim went straight up the side of the Shulchan. And going straight up, they also went straight up the sides of the lechem. So obviously, they supported the lechem. The lechem couldn't fall because it was held in place by the walls of the snifim. But if you hold that it's giving svina roketet, I mean, it barely touched the lechem. It touched the lechem only on the top of the deck of the boat, so to speak, if we consider there to be a deck on a kayak. But right? So on the very top, that's where it would come into contact. But since it was going down diagonally, there's no place for it to touch. So what good was it? It's like a joke. So it didn't really provide any support at all. So the man yomer kamin svinah roketet hechisam chal snifim lelecha. What good are they doing? Answers the Gemara, who's to say that the snifim were just a flat piece of wood? What if the snifim contained circular supports, semicircular supports, on all four sides?
Rather than 90 degrees.
No. Picture again, please. Basically, I mean, you could see it here in the Rashi, but I don't know if you were kind of... No, you don't have a picture for
that.
Okay, so here is a very nice picture of the... it's good. It's just a little hard to see how they did the shading, but what they have over here is a semicircle. And on each level of the sneef, there was a semicircle attached to each sneef on each level, so that basically the boat would sit on this little dry dock.
Like a bubble. But the
cunning
were bent?
What's that?
Cunning were bent?
No, the cunning, no cunning. So these are the way that the sneef themselves were made. Basically like a little piece so that the sneef itself had a place for dry docking the boat.
Portaging?
No, the portaging doesn't have that. Yeah, it doesn't have a support.
Throw that out.
Once we're going into the decks and the, you know, the fore and the aft, and then, you know, we might as well. Okay, now, so far so good. Now we have to ask it, the other direction. Because Mishran Mermik means to be Naroket. If you tell me that it was the shape of a kayak, so then that would explain why we need the Snifim. I mean, this thing is really very delicate, and it's got no way to stand. Well, how are you going to put it on the shulchan? It comes to a sharp bottom. It's got to have that support because it has to be dry docked on the shulchan. So, okay, obviously I need snifim. But if according to the Man the Omer, who says kibin teva prutsa, I don't need the snifim at all. It's perfectly shaped so that it sits on the table. The next lechem sits on top of it. And why can't it just go up? Why do we need snifim at all, according to this? Well, that's something else. Agav yukrit alechem talach. We are concerned, as we indicated to you before you pointed it out, I mean, we are concerned with the weight in which the upper lechem ultimately puts so much weight on the bottom, it has a tendency to force it outwards, and that would crush the lechem. Like this, we're holding everything in place, so nothing is going to fall out. But that's a separate issue. I mean, obviously, it's not the same need as it would be for the Sfina Rokedet. Yes, this is, we're going to be getting very soon to the Sugya in Chulin, which is Nafal Talchai Talch. Fine. Bishleima, let's see another problem over here. Laman Yomik means Sfina Rokedet. If you're telling me it's like a kayak ship, then that gives us place to put the Snifim down. We simply set the Snifim on the table. Because it sits on its own dry dock piece. There's room at the edge underneath each lechem. So on the bottom lechem, that edge sat on the table. So I understand how the snifim could be on the table. But if you hold it, I mean, teva prutza, there was no room for snifim. What did they stand on? I mean, where are you supposed to put these snifim? Snifim echan manachlu. All right, supposed to put it on the ground manachlu? Says the Gemara, yep. That's exactly where you put them.
I
don't get it. Indeed, Rababa Bar Mama pointed out, if you hold, like the Man the Omer, Svina Rokedet, and there was place to set the snifim down on the table, simply set it on top of its own flat surface, and then there was obviously a little slit in the middle, which is unimportant, where the bottom of the boat sat. And on either side of the boat, that was also sitting on top of the dry dock, which was sitting on top of the table. But if you hold Kamandiyama, Kiminteva, Prutza, there's no choice but to say that the Sinifin were actually supported by the ground. Therefore, they had to go all the way down to hit the ground, and they were independent of the table. They weren't sitting at the table. They were a separate entity. What is this problem? Why is it so problematic? Where's our picture book?
I don't know why they're not really around.
Where would you want to put them? If you put them on the table,
yes,
then you're no longer going to be able to put the bread on the table.
The bread
covers the entire table. Where are you going to put the snifim?
So, but what good is putting
snifim on? The snifim never go in between the bread. The snifim support the side of the bread and hold the kanin between the bread, but they themselves are just sitting there on the ground.
Rebbe, are we saying that all this is made up? I mean, the commandment is to make a shulchan with this air, and then lechem ufanim is commanded. How do you put lechem ufanim on the shulchan? You figure it out.
No, it says beferish in the Torah. It says that there have to be these pieces, but it doesn't say how they have to be shaped. Actually, it's interesting. The Chazon Ish learns that there is no particular din, exactly as you said. There's no particular shape that's necessary. And there's ideas just how it could have panim. How exactly you want to do that, that's really up to you. And Kacha Yenog, and he uses this as an answer as to why it is at the Rambam. Paskin is like Rabbi Chanina, even though we have a raya from a brayta like Rabbi Yochanan, and that it's not, anyway, it's not just a question of what the derech was to do. Okay, so now we have the Snifin Agavi Karka Munachim. Now, we have an interesting mimer that sounds really weird, and how does it work out exactly? Gmanas Adam Reb Yehuda, the lechem held the snifim in place, and the snifim held the lechem in place. Sounds sort of like a bootstrap operation. Well, no, it makes perfectly good sense. Because the Man Yomer Otzk means Svina Rokedet, then the snifim would have toppled over, because they're only up to halfway. So the weight of the bread on the bottom of the dry dock held the snifim in place. Right? Because they couldn't be attached, obviously, because then you wouldn't be able to put the bread into dry dock, because it wouldn't touch the table. So what held them in place? The weight of the bread held it in place. But it was only because the dry back was there that the bread was able to be standing on the table to hold this leafy in place. So therefore, what Rabbi Yehuda was saying makes perfectly good sense, but only according to Man Yomar Otskabinsky and Roketet. That way, the weight of one held the other in place, and then the shape of the other held the other in place. Meitve. Kimin kaveret hayala betanur. Now, so a kaveret would be shaped. Usually, a kaveret is round. So, when we say kaveret over here, we don't mean the typical shape of a kaveret. When we use the word kaveret, we mean the beehive shape, and that is always round. So, what we're referring to over here, as Tosfos points out, is not the shape, because we're about to say dome kimin tabla merubat, that it was square. Then, why what makes it a kaveret? The only thing you could say is that it's kaveret in terms of its construction, which is open to allow the heat to flow through freely. It's not a closed box. And that, in the tanur, was what we said was a kemin tfus, which was the way in which we enabled it to be held in place in the tanur and have the heat go through it. But anyway, one of what sport does is that the shape was a tabla merubat, which is, no, a tabla merubat is a square. So it's not the Svina Roketet. Well, that's not a question. It says, well, I mean, it's talking about the top. I mean, it's Pia Domek, I mean, Tabla Merubat. Just that you should, I mean, obviously we want to be able to fit it in. We're not necessarily saying there wasn't a support for a boat-like shape once you got it in. We're saying that, don't think we're talking about a round mold. That's all we're saying. How exactly was shaped after you put it inside of the mold? Maybe it was shaped like a Svina Roketet. I don't know. Tanya Kaman Yomar Kamin Svina Roketet. Actually, there is a braita that says, like Rabbi Yochanan, the Tanya, Arba'as Nifin Shel Zahav Hayusham. There were four of these Nifin, two on either side. Mefutzalim Miroshehem. And towards the top, meaning not on the bottom of them, but towards the top. I mean, there are some who actually mean towards the top, which is problematic, because then it's difficult to see how we would get in all of the 28 kanim that we have to fit in. Yeah, we're going to see. But the pashtus towards the top simply means as opposed to the bottom lecha. So above that level, you started having the pitzulim, kumin dokranim. So they were like pigumim, in which you could sit the kanim into. And those were used. So again, almost everyone learns that this doesn't mean that these dokranim themselves held the lechem, but that the dokranim held the kanim, which held the lechem. Yeah, basically. Not a hole, because pashtus, it's a pigum. It's something that sticks out a little bit. You know, you bend out, and you have just a little piece. It sticks out a little. It's mash from Rashi, it also went in. But you see that a lot in carpentry. That there's an indentation with a little shelf, like, that sticks out.
So it's not just resting on the bread. It's also...
No, definitely not. It's also resting on the sides. That's why we spoke out. That the problem, according to the Mandiomero holds, of the kayak shape, is that even though it's supported by the sides, it's so thin, it won't help just to support it in the middle, because it's just going to bend as it gets there. But that's really the problem. It just gives us a sense of how thin it was. Because otherwise, what's the big deal? Two edges in the middle are supported. That's not enough. Apparently, it's almost like aluminum foil. You know, so it wouldn't have been enough.
And the lechem is hot.
Well, warm.
Warm. But this is gold. So but what Sport does in this question is the closing words. Shesomchim be'emet alechem shudomeh kemin svina roketet. This is beferish. In the Braita, that the shape of the lechem was indeed a kayak. I just want to mention, which I forgot to point out, is that Tosfos has very serious problems with our kayak. And his problem is that there simply is no way to account for the sugya later on, which has the lechem being 10 tefachim long, and the machloket Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about how much of the lechem needed to be bent up on the side. Because once you make it like a kayak, it now becomes the diagonal of the box. It's basically a triangle. If it's a triangle, there's no way to fit all of that in. So if you have the flat bottom, then you have 5 tefachim on the bottom, which is the width of the shulchan, and you've got the additional 2.5 tefachim going up, right? Or if it was 6, you had 6 additional 2 tefachim going up. That's the machlok we're going to have later on, which we had actually earlier. How high is the shulchan mekadesh? Is it 12 or is it 15? Depending if you hold 6 times 2 or 6 times 2.5. But if you're going to be dealing with the diagonal, then the diagonal actually cuts things terribly, because the total is going to be about 3.5 instead of 5. What was 5 there becomes, with these 2 diagonals, each one of which, if you take it as the hypotenuse of the triangle that's formed by the edge of the snifim and the side of the lechem, it's going to turn out to be only 3.5 total, which get the other 2 in. No, the total usage of the lechem's length. If you put it straight, you can take 5. But if you have it going like that, it reaches the top. Yeah, and you're not using up the full 5 plus the 2.5. So something's funny. Because of that, Tosfos, but really only based on the fact that the Gemara allows you to round off the square root of 2 to 1.4. So he says that, well, maybe the Svina Rokedet was just like a tiny 1/6 of a tefach, and then the rest of it went up just like the other, which creates havoc with the Gemara later on. And then, it's something of a disaster. If we take the thickness of the lechem as a given to be a tefach, then we've got serious issues over here, according to this mandium. Okay, but that we'll get to when we reach the whole Gemara about the size of the lechem and how it was folded up. But you can see that obviously there's no way, if you don't have a flat and then a side, that you're going to get the same thing in a single diagonal. It makes no sense.
Because it's shorter.
Yeah, it's going to be much shorter. Obviously, if you're going to, I mean, it's like going through the square by going down one end and across the other, or by cutting across the hypotenuse. I mean, so of course it's not going to be the same amount of lechem. Shtei alechem niloshot achat achat v'nefot achat achat. Lechem aponim niloshot achat achat v'nefot shtayim shtayim. Ubitvus haya ose otan, kishur odan notnan notvus, kidei shlo yitkalkalu. Minonim, the Tanur Rabbanan, which says by the lechem aponim, Shnei asurim ye achala achat. Malamet she niloshot, why do you say achala achat? You say shnei asurim achala. So achat means niloshot achat achat. Minayin sh'av shtei alechem, kam tamud lomar yiyye. Ribu, minayin sh'afiyatan shtayim shtayim, tamud lomar v'samta otam. Yorkal av shtei alechem came, since that's the way it was with the Elisha. Tamud lomar otam. I otam afikte. You just used it for something else. Ah, but in kein lemekro v'samtam, my v'samta otam. Shma minotar, ton rabbanu. V'samta otam implies bitfus, because as Tosfos says, of course, said v'natata otam. Actually, shlosha tfusim heim, first of all, not another tfus while it was still batzek. Then there was a kemin tfus shayala betanur, and then after taking out of the tanur, hayanotna betfus kedei shalotit kalkiot. One that was put into the tfus gamma, kiven dak afila, it was already nafcha. Itwa, let me put him ketzer osim otam. Rebbe Chanin omer kemin teva putza, Rabbi Yochanan k'min svina rokedet. Bishlam alaman diomar k'min teva putza hanedava yatve bezichin. Elo laman diomar k'min svina rokedet. Heche ave yatve bezichin. Mokom avit lo. Bishlam alaman diomar k'min teva putza hanedava yatve kanim. Elo laman diomar k'min svina rokedet. Kanim heche ave yatve. Musha avit lo. Bishlam alaman diomar k'min teva putza hanedasam chalus nifim lo lecha. Laman diomar k'min svina rokedet. What do you need sniffing for? Surely, I mean, you put them on the ground? Yep. The Omer Baba Bar Mama. The Dibre Omer means Svinaro Kedet. Sniffing, I got a shulchan, Munachim. The Divrei Omer can mean Teva Prutza, Sivin Gabi Karkam Nachim. Kaman Oz Odom Rav Yehuda, Halechem Ma'amidet HaSnifim, VaSnifim Ma'amidin Met HaLechem. Kaman Yonah can mean Tzvinaru Kedet Mitzvah. Kamin Kaveret Hayala Betanur, Doma can mean Tabla Merubat. Ema Upia Doma can mean Tabla Merubat for easy insertion, but who knows what was going on inside. Tanya Kaman Yonah can mean Tzvinaru Kedet. The Tani Arba Asifim Shazava Yusham, Mefutzalim Roshem Kiminto Kranimayu, She Somchim Behemet Alechem, Shudomek Min Svinaro Kedet. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
Are you ready, Rebbe?
I hope you've been practicing. I'm worried about the bronchitis.
On
Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. Chaymer b'smicha mi b'tnufa b'smicha she'echad meniv l'kol ha'chaverim v'en echad somech m'kol ha'chaverim. So on the one hand, smicha is more chomor because by smicha you have to have all of the chaverim being semer because we had l'rabbas kol ba'alei korban. Hashem came b'tnufa, the tnufa, one does the tnufa for all. And tomorrow we'll discuss this. And again, as Tosfos pointed out yesterday, there doesn't seem to be much of a option as to how to learn kol ba'alei korban l'smicha. Chomer b'tnufa, on the other hand, sh'atnufa noheget b'korbanot ha'yachid uv korbanot ha'tzibur. We find that there's also tnufa in korbanot ha'tzibur, like by the kivsei atzeres. Bachayim ubashkutim. And remember that we also have a tznufa on something that is already shochut, like by the Kivsei Atzeres too. And even bedavar sheyesh bo ruach chayim ubedavar sheyin bo ruach chayim. We have smicha on the vegetable korbanos. Mashein kein besmicha, that's only on the bal chayim, first of all, and it's only while they're chay. And it's only, at least generally speaking, the korbanot hayachid, except for those two smichas b'tzibur. Tan Rabbanan, we said before korbanot, rabot kol ba'alei korban smicha. And the truth is, sheyakol ba'alodinam. You would have thought that it is a kal v'chomer. Uma tenufa shenitrabta b'shchutin, nitma'ata b'chuvrin, smicha shelo nitrabta b'shchutin enodin shetitma'it b'chuvrin. If you would have just been left to your own devices, you would certainly have thought, without korbanot, that if tznufa, which is done even on shchutin, not only on chayim, nonetheless, we're not machmer on it when you have a whole chabura to require the entire chabura to do the tznufa, smicha, which is not ever done to shchutin, so for sure we should able to be makil that we don't require everybody to do smicha. Tamud lomar korban, no l'rabot kol ba'alei korban l'smicha. And as I mentioned yesterday, this was Tosfos' raya, that left to our own devices, we would certainly require smicha, not like Rashi is saying that we would say korban is not miyuchad and that you don't have to do smicha at all. So now that we know what we know, why don't we say the opposite kal v'chomer? Now that we have korbanot to be marba kol ba'alei korban, and let's say that tnufa should require all of the chabura to be main, if also for the opposite kal v'chomer. If smicha, which is never done b'shchut, nonetheless is nisrapta b'chuvrin, where you have a lot of chaverin, they all have to do smicha, tenufa, where the Torah is more makpid to do tenufa, even on shchutim. Ein adin shetitrabeh v'chuvrin. For sure, we should require all of the chaverim, if they have a chabura b'shutfis, bringing a korban should require to do tenufa. And says the Gemara, that's impossible. Mishum Deloyab Shehechalei. How exactly would you want to do tzdufa? Say you've got 10 guys bringing one korban. What? Lin Pukula Bahadiyadadi? Everybody puts their hand on the korban together. So then one yad would be chetzitz for the other. Should each one do a tenufa separately? You can't do that either, because there's only one tenufa that's done and not tenufot that's done. And here, of course, this is mechadeh, the problem that we have about the meniach hakohen tachas yadar shabbat, the whole thing there, it seems to be a chatzitza. So Rashi tells it's not a problem, because the Bailim is definitely a separate smicha than the Kayin. So we understand that over there it's not considered to be a chatzitza. Masha'in came, if you have different people, then it's certainly going to be a chatzitza. Tosfos Tain, we mentioned this earlier. Tosfos Tain it earlier, I mean, like, Me'echa Tesa, where do you get such a svara from? I mean, they're all Bailim, I mean. So Tosfos Tain, that's what Tosfos' marker was, that they're not underneath each other, but rather one is Marzik the Kli above, and one is Marzik the Kli below, but they don't put a hand on top of a hand, in which case over here, if you're going to have a lot of people, where's everybody going to put their hand? Yeah, that's where Tosfos was referring to, by Mincha Sayyid. Fine. What you're taking for granted in the Mishnah, that there's never smicha on shchutim. Smicha is a given, it's on chayim. Why is it a fairish Mishnah in Tamid? But it's not. Say the Kohen Gadol wanted to bring the Korban Tamid. The Korban Tamid was brought with 12 Kohanim. So he wanted to bring up the actual Igorim. What did he do? Hayal levi kevesh vasgan biyamino. They're halfway up to the top of the Mizbeach. Ochaz Haskan Bimino. Haskan would support him on his right hand to be Ha'alev. The Oshitlo Harishon, then would come the first of the Kohanim that were carrying the Ivorim, and would hand over to the Kohen Gadol HaRosh VaHarega. The Somech Aleihem, the Kohen Gadol would be Semech on the Rosh VaHarega. Boy, they sure couldn't be very alive at this point, if they're just a head and a regal. The Zorkan, he would be Zork them on the Ishi. Then comes the second Kohen, and he gives to the first Kohen, Shtei Adayim, and they and then hand it over to the Kohen Gadol. Sobach Aleihem Zorkan. Then the Sheni gets out of the way, Ra'alaklo, comes along the Shlishi, and the Kachayim Ashitim Ashakalevorim. This is a very fancy way of getting things done. It's Marba covered. But in any event, it says over here that it's Semech on all of the Yevorim. I mean, the Yevorim certainly weren't aligned. But it was Man Shuhuro Tzeh. Actually, if the Kohen Gadol wanted, and he didn't have the kayak to go throwing all of these Yevorim, it's pretty heavy stuff. You're talking about maybe hundreds of pounds of meat here. So he could just do this Mecha and have somebody else do this Rika of the Yevorim. Yachirim Zorki. But in any event, it clearly says that he does Mecha, no? So what are you telling me? There's no smicha b'shkutim. Omer Abaye, but that didn't have a din of smicha. It was just it was like an act of kavod. Also, mishum yikra to Kohen Gadol. The idea over there was to show that it's as if he did the avodas, even though he hadn't done it on the other Kohen. It's basically just to show that he shired for the korban that should look like his. But there's no real smicha at that point. Adrenaloch, stay me, don't ya bitch.
Believe that
though. Let me get the fish. Stay halechem, is akas. The two, the lechomim of the stay halechem on Atzeres, were separately. Nilo, I said Nilo, should English again? Me, thank you. I needed that word. Achat achat, v'ne'afot achat achat, and each one would be baked separately. Whereas the lechem haponim, although they're niloshot achat achat, v'ne'afot in the tanur by twos. U'bitfus hayah oseh otam, kishuhu rodan notnan betfus, k'dei shelo yitkalkulu. The lechem haponim were made inside of a holder, inside of a mold, in order that they shouldn't break, because it was rather difficult to get the particular tzura of the lechem haponim.
as we'll see. And so Mamela, he had a support. How would you say, is there another word for mold? They're called molds for baking?
They're called molds for cooking for candies, I imagine, for...
Okay. So then a mold is the right word? Minani, really. The Tanur Rabbanan. How do we know this din of Niloshes, Achasagas, and so on? Shnei Esronim Yiyeh Hachala Ha'akad Nilamei Chinaloshat Achatachat. Why does the Torah say Hachala Ha'akad? To tell me that each challah of the lechem aponim is nilosh, is needed on its own. Minayin shav shtei alechem kach? How do we know the shtei alechem is the same thing to be nilosh alone? Talmud lomar yiyeh. So yiyeh. Could you say shnei esronim hachalah achat? Yiyeh means that wherever you're making the challahs in the tzibur, this is what you should do. Minayin shav yatam shtayim shtayim. How do we know that the lechem aponim were baked by twos? Talmud Lomar v'samtaotam, that the sima, the first sima, which is inside of the tanur, should be otam, should be by pairs. By the way, this is a little, the Achronim discussed whether dafka the sima or the actual afia. Does it mean that you have to only have two lechem? Could you put all the lechem in and then bake it? I mean, like the Karen Eris says, the parshas, that they were all baked together. It says that you would put them in by pairs. But others learn means that there was a specific afiyas in that. You have a lot of stay alive, okay?
Any worse to have all 12 of them than have two?
Each one is supposed to be matched. That's part of the punning. Yeah. I mean, that's how the Chazanish assumes. I mean, again, there's no clear right. It's Tamad Lomar, Otam. You might think that stay alive also requires pairing. Therefore, it says, Otam, dafka them. What do you mean? You just said Otam. You used Otam. You used Otam to tell me that they're paired. How can you use the same Otam to tell me that they're paired, to tell me that only these are paired and not something else? Fikte. You used it for something else? No. If that's the pshad, then I could have easily said Visamtam. Visamtam would have meant to put them by twos. If I say it in two words, Visamta, Otam, then I'm stressing the et. The et means dafka this, otam, and nothing else. So therefore, v'shamat minatarka, I now can learn both things, one from the otam, and one from the fact that they're paired. Tana Rabbana, v'samta otam, this means that the sima should be bitfus. Tosfos Tainus, I mean, how can you learn yet another word? Like we were learning it out from the word otam, how are we learning yet a third thing from otam? Sturgis time is the vehicle over here is from the fact that it says sima as opposed to nitina. Because normally it would have said vinatataotam malashul chamin or samta. Samta means that there's something that is holding the thing that you're putting in. It's called more a form? Okay. Right? So. The detail here is like this. How does it work? Shlosha tfusim. Actually, there were three separate tfusim. First of all, he was notna l'tfus v'adayin hi batzek. To keep the original tzura of the lechem was put into a tfus while it was still dough. Then, kimin tfus hayala b'tanur. There was an equivalent of a tfus that was part of the tanur that held that shape. And then Kishuroda, when he takes out the lechem from the tanur, he also has to put it into yet a third tfus, Kadesha Lotit Kalkel, in order that it shouldn't crack. Vlahadra Lotfus Kama, why can't you just put it back into the first tfus? Why is that three separate tfusim? Because Kiman da Afi Lo Nofka, obviously once it's baked, it's expanded. You can't put it into the other tfus. The tfus that was inside of the tanur, when you would be ofed, would expand along with the lechem as it heated. But the tfus that was outside wasn't able to hold the baked lechem any longer. Itma. Lechem haponim ketzarusim otam. How the mice did they make the lechem haponim? The mashma'ut is that it really doesn't matter as long as they have ponim. with the particular surah of the ponim is not ma'akim. There is a lechem ha'ponim that it should face, the lechem should face itself. So it should have two sides. But lamaita, how did they do it? So Rabbi Chanina Aimer Kimin Teva Putsa. Basically, what you have is a box in which you remove the top and the two sides. And what's left is a bottom with two things coming up. So you have plenty. The lechem faces. Yeah, each side of the lechem faces itself.
The top picture of Rashi.
The top picture of Rashi. Maybe you'll put it on there. It's like a canoe. So it didn't have any bottom. And basically, as it came up on the edge, the top would be sharp. Because the thickness of the lechem, I mean, take a look on the picture. This picture is not good. Take a look on the, at least the way it's not what Rashi is trying to say. You have to extend the sides upwards. Take a look at the lower picture of the lechemim sitting inside of the snifim underneath, and you'll notice that the tip of the lechem is sharp because the thickness of the wall extends down the side, down the edge. So at the top, if you were feeling, right here, the bottom picture. So now, Vishleim Alamandi Omer. What? If you take a look at the picture on top, it appears that you have a thick edge on the top of the bread, which Rashi doesn't hold. If you look at the bottom picture, you see that, in fact, if you touch the edge on top, it would have no thickness.
The outer edge.
The thickness was going up and down, not left and right.
I don't understand.
The side is flat, but the top is sharp. And over here, it's drawn as if the top is flat. You don't see the difference between these two pictures.
You're just talking about the very...
Okay, so the I'm saying that the two pictures don't match. The one that Rashi seems to hold of is the bottom picture here. Right. Okay. So basically a canoe is called a svina roketet. It's like very responsive. It comes to the tip and it zips through the water. It like dances. We see it as dancing through the water. Whereas a normal svina has much more problems with the cutting through the water. Now, Vishlam Zamanimak bin Teva Putsa. I understand if it was a Teva Putsa, then when we learn, as we see later on, that the bezichim were put on top of the lechem. Now, those bezichim could stand, basically, there was plenty of room to sit inside the box, so to speak, with the top lechem. But if you hold it was Kamin Svina Roketet, where the heck would you put the bezichin? The bezichin of the Levina had nowhere to sit. There is no bottom. It's sharp. What do you mean the middle? There's nowhere for it to sit. Answers the Gemara, Mokam Avid Lahu. They made like a little indentation in the thickness in order to put it in. So what's the big problem? The bezichin is on the top lechem. So the lechem after the shulchan gets makadish all the way up, and the bezichim sit on top of the shulchan by sitting on the top lechem.
In the middle, on the side.
We'll see later with the bezichim.
Not an ekli, though.
Yes, it's an ekli. It's a bezichim. It's a ekli. Now, Bishop of the Mandi Omer Kmin Teva Putsa. If you're telling me it's a Teva Putsa, then I understand that the kanim were able to sit in this Teva Prutza in any place. So you would have three kanim. Remember, the idea over here of the kanim were that they were semicircular reeds that would allow air circulation between the various lechamim, so that there would be no chance for it to, even though lemaisa, but there are meis, it was never going to be tapesh. But in order to prevent ipush, in order to prevent its getting moldy, we put the zirin. We put these straw like things. The kind
of would be on top of each other, but
would be sitting with kanim in between them, so that there would be plenty of room. But the problem is, if you learn that you have a svina rokedet. Ulman de Omar, kemin svina rokedet, so kanim echa havayasi. Exactly how would you be able to support these kanim? There's supposed to be three reeds. I mean, we call them reeds. They weren't made out of reed. They were made out of zahav. Those were one of the things that were part of the kelim of the shulchan itself. So the question is, if we put every lechem down on the kanim, and that way we have a little bit of space between them, if you have a sharp edge, where exactly did you put the kanim? On the sharp edge of the middle? Where was the kanim supporting the challah, since it was only this little tip that touched the bottom? How did you put three kanim there?
Where
does
this idea come from? All the pictures of the
Yishulchan
all show that it's all straight.
You mean Teva Prusa? Because it goes according to the Tzak. That's how we pass it. That doesn't mean that the books have to give you the whole, here you find the picture, like not the books. So therefore it must be a raya, since there's an illustration of it, of a V, that maybe there was a V. By the way, Tosfos argues, speaking of the picture, you'll notice that Tosfos has the picture not as a V, but rather as an edge going up, just the bottom part was like a hole. What's wrong with keeping it simple, keeping life simple? Ru'uyim hadvarim lamisha imran. Solid, reliable. Every figure in its place. Svina rokedet, you can imagine you couldn't trust a thing that a guy like that would come up with. I mean, his figures would be roped also.
These would
keep
him
on each level?
On each level. Side.
There were no sides.
The sides going up the length.
They don't touch each other.
They don't touch each other. Each one is at the same angle, so if you put one at the bottom, then the two sides would obviously also touch it or come. The weight, they'd also hurt their weight. You can do that.
And then we need the triangle formation, the inverted triangle.
They're all going to touch the same distance.
One, and then two, and three.
Answer to the Gemara, Mursha Avidlu. What you did is you stuck a little bit of dough out so that if there would be place to hold the cunning. It's really getting weird now.
It's
a lot more work and in a rather strange shape. Bishlam Lamandi Omar to mean Teva Prutsa. I understand, if you hold it, it's a box-like shape. Then the snifim actually do support the sides of the lechem. Remember, the snifim were these solid pieces that went along the long edge. And those snifim would prevent the lechem from collapsing. It would hold them the same way that the tfus would hold a lechem. It was basically a large tfus, that the edge of the bread was up against the edge of the wood on either side. But if you hold it k'min svina rokedet, then it hardly touches. Well, how's it going to support the lechem anyway from collapsing? It's not going to help it. So what would be the point of snifim to be sonef, to be a branch that holds up the lechem? They don't even touch the lechem. So if you hold that you have a teva prutza, hainu the samchile snifim lelechem, but if you hold that the lechem was a svina rokedet, echi samchile snifim lelechem. In what sense were the snifim going to support the lechem at all? No, the snifim, according to that man d'yomar, were sort of circular. The agilu miagyo. They were more like a circle. And what you had was the snifim came down under each lechem circularly, so that the canoe bottom, so to speak, would be sitting on something. Right? Not just a straight edge.
It has to be the side supported from underneath, and has the kamim running under the base.
Right. Correct.
What's wrong with the picture down below?
What makes you say that something's wrong with it, first?
Well, no, that's what I'm trying to understand. The kamim, why aren't those maybe going down angularly? Why is that?
Those are snifim. Those are
that's
not.
That's what I'm questioning. They're going down angularly.
Because that's miyam.
Angular.
Is that what you're asking? That it's not circular?
I guess if that's not circular.
I don't know. What are you asking? I'm trying to say the word.
These seem to be the thing that we're just discussing, and they're going down angularly, and that would seem to address the bread touching it.
That's correct. It's trying to illustrate how the Gemara addresses the bread touching it.
So what is the ground section?
Oh, so you don't like to find it, so then explain what you mean.
Well, first
your question is round, why did I say round when the picture is angular?
This is what you're describing?
Yes.
Then please, yes. Now I understand why I didn't say yes.
And the answer is that when you print pictures in days when you didn't have WYSIWYG, it was a heck of a lot easier to create a straight line than a round line. However, a teva roots, a svina roketa is not really a root. It's a cut through a canoe. And a canoe is not a V either. So where we can avoid making circles, which would require someone to actually sit there and grind away to create a tfus or a circle, instead, we make a V. However, the correct...
And everybody knew to compensate.
I would imagine. But Rashi says beferish. In French, the correct word would be circle. So therefore, the snifim were strangely made to compensate for the canoe shape. All right, fine, we'll accept that too. Bishlam el mam yamak min svina roketas. But now the other way around, actually, the boat shape makes sense for the first time for one issue, namely, why do you need snifim? So, mam de omar svina roketas, I understand why I need snifim. I mean, otherwise this whole darn thing is going to collapse. But the mam de omar kmi teva putsa. I mean, if the thing was a box, so each one sits on the other one, so what's the point? It's basically a straight box. True, but agav yukra delachem, because it's heavy. Talach, it'll break, it'll crack. So it's just supporting, the weight, it's not supporting the shape. Okay, another thing that makes sense. If you hold it, kamin svina roketas, we have a canoe, then the snifim, it makes sense, were part of the shulchan's kelim. I put the snifim on the shulchan. Because the snifim would fit under the bottom lechem, correct? Because after all, the bottom lechem had a whole large space on the edge, because it didn't touch the table, only the bottom of the canoe touched the table. So the snif would be underneath the canoe. Basically, if you've ever seen how you support a canoe, but when you bring it out of the water, you have snifim. That'll hold the canoe up. You have a little piece on the edge. The canoe sits in the middle. So, okay, then the snifim makes sense. But if you hold, according to the Mandi Omar, that says it's, the Mandi Omar can mean teva perutza, there was no place to put the snifim. Where did you put the snifim? No, you couldn't put anything underneath because we saw that the maximum height was only the lechem is the shulchan is the bekadesh, the 12 or 15, remember the makokas. Nobody added any space for snifim. You had to put the lechem on the shulchan, not lechem on the snifim. So where were they snifim? There's no room for snifim on the shulchan. Hello, commandi omar can be teva krutze echa monoklu. Ara monoklu, where'd you put it? You put it on the floor? Yeah, well, exactly. You put it on the floor? The omar ababa barmamal, the divri omar can mean svinar okedet, snifin agavi shulchan munach. The divrei omer kamin teva prutza, snifin agavi karka munach. Now, we see for the first time the justification of the canoe shape. Because it's very difficult to believe that the Sneifim, which are a kli of the Shulchan, actually had nothing to do with the Shulchan. They were little things that were a separate kli that stood on the floor next to the Shulchan supporting the Malacha. Does that seem reasonable to you? That that's what you call the kol kli HaShulchan? Very difficult to believe. Mamela, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan Taina, must be the Sneifim sat on the Shulchan. And even though they sat on the Shulchan, there was room for the Lechem, because the Lechem wasn't flat on the bottom. So the Lechem fit on the Sneifim. So the truth is, the only thing that's B'chayev, Rabbi Yochanan's shape, is the whole problem of the Sneifim, the need of the Sneifim, the Mokum for the Sneifim, is something in which it adds up much better if you're talking about a Sfina Roketa.
Is that why Tosfos has that sort of
shape? No, that's a whole different issue. There's a big problem throughout this sugya about the measurement issue that we spoke about earlier that we're going to get to again, which is, in other words, how much of the lechem was kaful going up. The whole analysis of the kaful only works out like the teva frutza, where we had the lechem was 10, you put up both sides, and then it added up to the 12 or to the 15, depending on the size. If you had the shulchan was 5 wide, the 6 wide. But this is like a whole different way of measuring it that the Gemara didn't seem to take into consideration. That's what Tosis is bothered by. And besides other issues, he didn't like the way Rashi had the problem with the Kanim either. Fine. So we understand. We begin to see a little bit of the logic in Rabbi Yochanan's position. And there's another issue over here. Come on, Oz Adam Rabbi Yehuda. Halechem ma'amid et ha-snifim, ha-snifim ma'amidim es halechem. When Rabbi Yehuda said that the lechem was as necessary for the snifim as the snifim were for the lechem. Now, that doesn't make sense if you hold that the lechem is a box. Because if it's a box, it really has no contact with the snifim. The snifim is sitting on the floor. The edge of the snifim go along the height of the lechem, so that if there's any pressure on the lechem to break, it'll hit the sneifim. But it certainly doesn't do a thing for the sneifim. The sneifim are a solid piece of furniture that is standing on the ground. If you hold that it's giving Svina Rokedet, now that begins to make sense. Because what you have over here is something that if I put it up without lechem, it's going to fall over. Because it's rounded, it doesn't have much space to stand. It's very tall. It's got a tiny little space underneath which you can sit on the shulchan. So when I put the lechem on the sneifim, then the weight of the lechem supports the sneifim inwards so they don't fall over on the edge. So therefore, the sneifim are protecting the lechem, but it's only because the lechem's on the sneifim that the sneifim are able to stand on the shulchan anyway. Okay, then that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. The lechem supports the sneifim supports the lechem. Who's that going according to? Only Kamani Yama Kamin Sfina Roketa. That only goes according to Rabbi Yochanan Shita, because if it's Kamin Teva Prusa, then the lechem certainly does not support the sneifim in any way. The sneifim is sitting on the floor. Made sense. These Amoraim seem to be running against, there's a brisa that only supports the Shita of Rabbi Chanina, because it says the Farish in the brisa. That kimin kaveret hayala betanur. There was like a shape of a kaveret. Kaveret is what we use for the artificial beehives, those boxes. And that was inside of the tanur, which essentially is the kimin tfus we said before, that it's baked in.
Is the cone shape, is that the kaveret?
No, not necessarily. Here it says the farish. Otherwise we would have thought that upside down cone shape. The domet can mean tabla merubat. Here it says that it looks like a box. A tabla merubat. If it looks like a box, so then I don't get it. Then doesn't that... What?
Like an inside
these shapes. No, what's the point of saying it? Who cares? So if it's like a tabla merubat, doesn't that mean that... It's basically a only going according to Rabbi Hanina. So how does Rabbi Yochanan argue on the Braisa? No, what it means over here is that Pia, Ema, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the way to read this is, and the top of it looks like a tabla merubat, which is true. The top edge, of course, this works out better according to Tosis's canoe, but it's when you're looking into the box. If you don't worry about the bottom, the top is like a box that's been busted on two sides. So the pears don't make any tabla merubat. The truth is, Tanya Kaman Yomer Kamin Sfina Rokedes. We do have a braisa that says Kamin Sfina Rokedes. The Tanya are Ba'as Nifim Shel Zahav Ayusham Mufutzalim Miroshem Kamin Dokranim Shesomchim Behem Et Alechem Shudomek Kamin Sfina Rokedes. Here it says Beferish that the Snifim were Mufutzalim in order to have like Kamin that a Kana isn't straight. Right? A Kana has other kanim growing out of it. It's not just one straight kana. You have dukranim. You have kanim that are dukranim. So the same thing was true over here of the snifim, because the pitzul was necessary to be somech the lechem that was svina roketet. Just as the feirish that it was gemin svina roketet. Okay? There's no way out of that. You can't say a svina roketet is a teva putza. We definitely, therefore, have a smichas over here through Rabbi Yochanan and Shita. And it is indeed kimin svina roketet. Alright, then we get into our other sugyas tomorrow. Interesting, huh?